Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's our Friday moment together with you and I, the markets, and our listeners out there in,
Cyberland. Out there in Cyberland.
Cyberland, that's right. They're in Cyberland. Okay.
And we're kicking off the show with a listener question from Justin in Berkeley. Bob, I generally keep track of some of the critical items that Bob has mentioned before, and it's interesting the dollar index and gold are rising simultaneously with gold at an all-time high. I also noticed the gold-silver ratio was not doing anything at all interesting. The gold-oil ratio is somewhat high, but the credit spreads also do not seem to be doing anything extraordinary. Since the DXY dollar index is a measure of the dollar versus a basket of other flat concoctions like the pound, euro, and yen, is the DXY the best way to measure the strength of the U.S. dollar?
Well, let's answer the last one first. Yeah, I just call it the DX and use it. It's very handy. And the one to use, sure. Now then, the other thing is that the dollar, the DX has been firm to steady as gold has reached new highs. This is remarkable because hitherto, since the 1960s, when people began to get excited about gold and bearish on the dollar, the two have gone opposites. So this is, I think, is very constructive. Now, also, I do the price of gold relative to commodities. Use the CRB index with 27 items in it, and I think it's reasonable that CRB is a proxy for mining costs. So when you've got gold bullion price going up relative to the CRB, you got the bullion price going up relative to costs, which means that the gold miners are making more money. And this has been now rising since October. So the trend is well in place. And indeed, as of today, the gold divided by CRB is barely above the high of a couple of months ago. So it's, let's put it this way, it's looking to break out and start making new highs. So again, there's two ways of looking at gold stocks. The old way is the recipe, dollar down, gold up, gold stocks up. Nah, that's old hat, because we're in a period where the senior currency, the dollar, could be stable for quite some time. So that old recipe isn't going to work. But what does work, and I've got it on the charts, is gold divided by the CRB. Or you could use it, actually, the question mentions compared to oil, too. Now, just using my memory, gold divided by CRB may be up by almost 30%. And at one time recently, crude oil was up something like 50%. So the crude oil has slumped relative to gold. Anyways, things are working out. The gold is outperforming the bullion, and that's a plus for the gold miners. The gold-silver ratio is been weak, and it looks like it wants to go up. But in a post-bubble contraction, gold will outperform silver. So the gold-silver ratio will either stay down or maybe even go lower. So as a matter of fact, when you get into serious problems in the financial markets, you can have a day when silver crashes relative to gold, and that's a sign that it's fairly exciting out there. So, yeah, some good. This question had some good phases to it.
Should you be making sure you pick up physical gold versus certificates? Because I've heard there's a shortage of the physical product.
No, you can go and buy any amount of gold you want to. Most anybody of any size, it's quite liquid. But it's being bid up because the demand is increasing, and the market, as I say, has been, the gold price in U.S. dollars has been going up without the U.S. dollar crashing. This is very constructive.
U.S. Costco shoppers can buy gold, and they keep running out.
I guess so. Well, of course, they think they can sell a product, so they have the product in their counter somewhere. And are selling it. So they then would be buying it. They probably have a deal with a special gold dealer in order to get the way there's units they're selling the gold. And I don't know whether they're doing coins or little bars or whatever, but it's a great idea.
How long before the junior gold miners start to pick up?
Oh, they're doing well already.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, because a few months ago we had our list of it was about 14 juniors, and we just looked at the charts of them yesterday, and some of them are acting really quite nicely. Yeah, so that was a good way to go about it. You got a list of about, in this case, I think it's 14 stocks, and we're glad to offer the list anybody who calls in for it. But I really did this some years ago, and I picked only five from one of the gold fund managers in Toronto. And one of them turned out to be Arequipa. And out of the five juniors, that one went to $30. And you'll need to have one of those, and that's great. So anyways, our list of juniors are professionally chosen. They have good prospects, small companies. Some are producers. Some are producers are waiting to go back into production, and some are just straight exploration stocks. And it's a very good way to get some exposure. If you buy the senior gold stocks, you're just going to get market performance. But in order to enhance that, you got to use leverage, and I don't like leverage. So the way to get the best percentage gain out of a move in gold stocks is to have a collection of small cap gold stocks. Yep, it's a very good way to go about it.
And we'll get to more headlines in a moment, but the headline that caught my eye, because it goes with this: China's People's Bank of China buys gold for 17th month. Well, they've really been on a buying tear for the last 12 years.
They've been buying.
Yeah. Is that part of the price rise?
Sure.
What do you think their goal is?
I can't figure out why there's a group of central bankers have been buying gold over the last few years. And I don't know. I doubt that they're buying wisely. I think they're looking out and getting the inflation scare and figure they have got to have gold. But throughout history, the gold has been the only reserve that either central banks or commercial banks would keep. And I think the world may eventually go back to that.
Well, Canada and the UK sold off all their gold during the Harper years.
Uh-huh.
And he even melted down coins that were worth a whole lot more than their value in gold. And he just took the bullion.
Well, it wasn't Harper.
Well, he started it.
No. It was the Treasury and Bank of Canada under pressure from the IMF. Harper had nothing to do with it.
Couldn't he stop it?
Nope.
And what
outside
was the
of his province?
Yeah.
You know, what, no. It, what was that the was all of a scheme that was going on at the time. So,
well, I remember the headlines were "Gold isn't anything but a pretty rock,"
written by somebody extremely naive or hostile to the idea of gold.
It's because they didn't own any.
Yeah, well, so, then you also got economists out there who still remain absolutely convinced that they can manage the economy and prevent recessions from happening. And this, of course, was the opinion by the experts in 1913 when the U.S. Federal Reserve System was formed, and they were absolutely convinced. Now, what they understood was that a financial crisis was always followed by a recession. So then the Federal Reserve would be the lender of last resort and prevent the crisis, and therefore no more recessions. Just like that, as I use sometimes, presto, no more recessions. Well, there's been 18 recessions since the Fed was formed in Christmas of 1913. So the theory does not work. And here again, they're out. If the economy gets a little more nervous, they'll be out there saying that, the Fed will prevent a recession. And I've also seen a couple of headlines recently that hinting that things will be okay because ahead of us there'll be Fed cuts. Well, all I know is that when short T-bill rates go down, the Fed follows, and when short rates are going down like that, the stock market goes down with it. And sometimes, and you look at the chart, it's really quite interesting, is because the fastest decline in the T-bill rate will be associated with the fastest hit in the stock market. So this one is, I got a quote from a top Wall Street spokesman in September of 2007 saying that the Fed cuts would certainly keep things going, and the stock market peaked in the middle of that October. The economy peaked in December, and the 2008 bear market was the worst since the 1930s. So, when interest rates going up says the boom is on, short rates going down says the boom is off. That's as simple as that.
We'll have headlines with Bob Hoy when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline number one from the Wall Street Journal, Big Tech has a big cash problem. What's the story there, Bob?
Well, I put it in because I admired the guy who wrote the headline.
So what's their cash problem?
No money.
Really? They've spent it all?
Or? Well, it was all done on borrowed money anyways, and I guess the eagerness of lenders to provide money could be diminishing.
Headline from Reuters, U.S. small business sentiment slides to lowest level in more than 11 years.
Yeah, the small business people are getting gloomy. They're seeing their business shrink, I guess. Yeah.
Well, when you're up against Amazon that delivers a tube of toothpaste to your door for free if you belong to their Prime Club, how does the ma-and-pa shop compete with that?
It's a very tough situation, and I use Amazon and when I purchase things and have them delivered to my door, and then when I buy the groceries from the big supermarket, I have them delivered to my door. So.
Well, we price compare. We take a look at the prices at, say, Shoppers, Drug Mart, London Drugs, and Amazon for certain products. And really, there can be a huge price disparity, and Amazon isn't always the cheapest.
Okay, that's interesting to know. Yeah.
Yeah, so do some shop comparing before you decide it's worth it. Now, if you have to drive across the city for 45 minutes to get something that's 10 cents cheaper, not worth
it. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Wall Street Journal headline, another cost of cheap money comes into view.
Yeah.
I think people got addicted to those low interest rates.
They got the cheap money and got overexposed, and as the cheap money disappears, people are finding they have a problem, and that's now becoming a cost, as the headline described it. So, yeah.
I think one of the reasons why they want lower interest rates is there's huge pressure on homeowners and their mortgages.
Yeah.
And plus, lower interest rates might encourage more spending to help the economy. Right now, I got a notice from Walmart. Their interest rate went up on their credit card. It's just a dash under 30%. That used to be considered mafia loan levels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
From Yahoo, the odds of $100 oil are rising as supply shocks convulse the market.
Yeah, well, there's been a couple of price fluctuations in crude, but we want to go back to last September when the experts were calling for $150 oil, and then it got crashed down to, what, $67 in December. So, but seasonally, crude oil is probably okay for a while yet, but we know that and have made the call many times that if you've got strength in crude oil in September, you can make the call that it's going to have a dismal low in December. So that works most of the time.
Some Ukrainian drone strikes hit three major Russian refineries that exported oil, or should exported gasoline. And now they're just keeping their gasoline for domestic production. That's going to have a bit of a shock on oil prices, too, I would think.
Oh, yeah, there's whatever it is. There's always going to be something that either driving it up or driving it down.
From Yahoo, China's state bank asks court to liquidate developer Shimao.
Yeah, there's another one of those big property developers in China that are underwater huge, and obviously they're going to liquefy the thing, turn it bankrupt and write it all off.
So that's another third major one, and of course there's probably dozens of others in deep doo-doo.
Well, we've
as well.
Got our friend Evergrande. We haven't seen him for a while.
Well, they went bankrupt. And then Country Gardens as well.
Country Gardens. Oh, yeah, we had those headlines for quite a while. Now we got the new one with Shimao.
Now, I haven't heard of public unrest because so many people lost money on this, or is China with their facial recognition social credit system keeping people at home and off the streets?
I don't know, but you lose all your money, there's going to be some kind of facial expression.
Or maybe a finger.
Yeah.
Yes, because now if, say, you get a jaywalking ticket and a speeding ticket, you're not allowed to charge your electric car or take public transit in China.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they like electric cars over there. Battery. Let's be honest, call them battery-driven cars. And China really likes them and is manufacturing them, and I think they're going to get stuck with a huge fields and fields of parked EVs. Yeah.
Headline from Reuters, Fitch cuts China's ratings outlook on growth slowing.
Yep. They look at their credit rate, the country's credit rating, and a downgrade. And when we get into exciting times, Fitch or S&P may do three credit rating drops in one announcement. Now, that's when it gets pretty exciting.
BC just had its credit rating dropped.
Yeah.
Too much government spending?
Yeah.
The U.S. will not accept Chinese imports decimating new industry, says Janet Yellen.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to turn into a trade war?
Yeah, that's a bit of protectionism, isn't it?
We've seen China withhold product, and the people they threaten the most are Canada because we're just tiny.
Yeah.
Canada's entire population would be, what, two cities in China?
Well, Canada's almost 40 million.
We're over 40 now.
And, the recent immigrants. And it's a huge country, huge financial markets, and huge debt, and it's all becoming undone. They're in a recession there that'll likely spread to the rest of the world. The U.S. is still up in the economy, but is about to get hit. So,
headline from Yahoo, gold's vertiginous ascent isn't over yet. I've never heard that word before in my life.
I've seen it before, but I've never ever used it myself. And this was a rare usage of the word. And I had to tell you, when I was typing it out, I sure had problems getting the spelling straight. So, vertiginous ascent. How about that?
And our final headline, Gallup poll shows growing backlash against electric vehicles, from Breitbart.
It was a crazy, uneconomic, impractical fad where people just were promoted into getting this idea that you could have a car that didn't have a tailpipe emitting emissions. And their main emission that they're uptight about is CO2. And CO2 barely adds any warming to the atmosphere. And it has nothing to do with climate change at all. So, no, that one is a bit of nonsense. But basically, from day one, anybody who was interested and fully informed about cars knew that the battery-powered car was just plain hopeless, very inefficient. And
well, China was hoping to improve the air quality in their cities, but they're actually building more coal-fired plants to power these electric vehicles. What pollutes more?
Modern coal plants these days have excellent scrubbers and stuff, so the particulates and all the nasty stuff is captured and buried or something like that. So I don't worry about, as a matter of fact, I applaud the Chinese building a new coal plant every other week or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I remembered a video, a very smoggy day in Beijing, and a guy had to lift his face mask to take another puff on his cigarette.
Well, remember decades ago, the problem was the Los Angeles basin. It would get absolutely with car emissions back in those days, and an inversion layer in the air was just something awful. And then car emissions are not that as bad as they used to be, and you don't hear any problems about vision or air quality in Los Angeles anymore. So,
Bob, always a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, it was good that we get together, and I look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.